Welcome to the EdTech Rewind. 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 Rewind.
Hey, everybody. EdTech Rewind, episode 2, Revenge of the Clones, is on air.
Actually, episode 1, because the first one hasn't come out.
Sorry. Episode 1, the unpublished.
First one was us just figuring it out.
Yes, sir. Fine. Yeah. So, Clint, for the first time listeners, give us a Reader's Digest version of who you are and what you do.
You might know me as the stunt double from Fast and the Furious 7, Vin Diesel's stunt double. I am Clint Winter. I'm an educational technologist with the Clark County School District in Athens, Georgia. I love ed tech. I have a degree in ed tech. Taught special education forever and then went back and have been a educational technologist for the last 3 years. Do a lot with Google and presented at Google. And I love technology. We're a one-to-one district and I serve 2 middle schools and 2 elementary schools. So that's how I roll.
Sweet. Over on this end, I am the Pedro Antic stunt double. He's a power forward for the Hawks.
Now, are you his stunt double in Brooklyn? I hope not.
God, that was terrible. I'm sorry.
Tonight or the actual
the Hawks just need to stay out of New York.
Yeah,
they've got no business there. But yeah, so my name is Lee Green. I am let's just say instructional technologist in the Floyd County Schools in Rome, Georgia, serving 20 schools. Wow. So more work's cut out for me. Also a big Google fan, representing, well, this is going to be audio, so y'all can't see my shirt, but representing the Google.
I'm wearing a Google shirt.
Yes.
I'm wearing my EdTech Rome shirt that I did with Lee Green.
Yeah, you are. Let's see what else. Yeah, Google certified teacher, all things Googly. And just general technology enthusiast. Like I like the easy, how I make lives easier aspect of things. I enjoy exploring and trying to work with teachers and making their lives a better place so they can make their students' lives a better place. It's the trickle-down economics of ed tech.
There you go.
And so ed tech rewind, it's an opportunity to kind of take a look back at different things going on in the ed tech world and kind of see where we've come and where we're going. And very serious conversations we had here with, I would say, tastemakers. And I'm looking for another word here. What's another same thing for tastemaker?
Did you say pacemaker or taste taker?
Taste makers.
Oh.
You know, the people that decide this is cool, this is not cool.
Oh, So that's what the focus of this podcast is to tell you.
Right. Yeah, we're looking at how people make decisions and, you know, the really important people. That's all we care about.
That's right.
We're starting at the top.
Starting to quote the great Drake.
I was hoping you were going there.
Starting from the bottom, now we're here.
Mm-hmm. Starting at the bottom. We'll be back on top, I believe, is how it goes.
I'll have to say I was in a middle school class today all day working with Georgia College 411.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only teacher in the room who could answer not one, but 2 questions about Nicki Minaj.
Okay, what were they?
Do you know who Nicki Minaj is?
Okay, there, I got that one.
And can you name a Nicki Minaj song?
There's a Sir Mix-a-Lot one she rips off that disturbs me.
Anaconda.
Yeah, there we go.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think it was called Spaceships. Maybe 1.5. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you about the new phrase I also invented today.
Okay.
Hey, man, slow your scroll.
Oh, that is perfect.
That was a big hit with the 13 and 14 year olds in the 8th grade classroom today.
That is outstanding. Slow your scroll.
Hey, man, slow your scroll.
I keep thinking about tattoos I'm going to get. That might be one of them.
Yeah, I don't think I like the phrase a lot, but not tattoo worthy.
Gotta see how it plays out, you know.
I think no. that for one of the segments of this podcast, if you're still listening, would be my tattoo.
Yes, there we go. We could have special the tastemakers of the world come on and tell us what their tattoo should be if they were to have one.
Right.
Maybe that's a good final closing segment.
Yes.
All right. So,
but if you're looking for a really, really serious, in-depth podcast about instructional technology,
this ain't it.
You can go ahead and cut we will hit EdTech, but we'll have a good lighthearted way to get there because we both know our stuff.
Yes,
Lee's yep. Google certified, mm-hmm. and I am. We covered this in the first episode that no one's heard of before, but I don't want to brag. Commodore 64 certified.
Boom.
By myself. I came up with the whole criteria, which is slim to none, and then I gave myself a certificate.
Equals Montreal Blanc. Did you do it in crayon?
No, I did it with the printer where you have to like line the holes of the paper up there with the go. Wheel. And I made a Whoopi Goldberg banner.
Nice. With a scroll.
I remember that because on my Commodore 64, the printing program, I forget what it was called back in the day.
Uh-huh.
You could use the Whoopi Goldberg banner.
Nice. I didn't have a Whoopi Goldberg banner. I just turned it. I turned it to landscape and just printed like crazy.
I dare you to ask your Google certified teacher community, can you guys make a Whoopi Goldberg banner? Because I bet you.
There's going to be somebody there who can.
Or certified, I bet you can.
Yeah. Yeah, there's... It's... Yeah, I'm gonna have to figure that one out.
So that's the segment that we like to call Jovial Banter.
Jovial Banter. thinking... Oh, you can't see me dancing, so it doesn't matter. Hey, so speaking of Jovial Banter, Saturday night I got to go see a podcast pioneer, if you want to call him that. I saw Chris Hardwick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was playing. Chris
Hardwick.
What's that?
Talking Dead, Chris Hardwick.
Yes, you may know him from such things as The Talking Dead.
That's what I know him from, and he was he did a great. Not he did. I read a great. I guess it was like 2 or 3 years ago. They did a whole Wired magazine episode. You know how they have like theme. Mm-hmm. It was all Star Wars with Chris Hardwick. It was
He's crazy smart. Like dude, just. Like off the charts intelligent, like it was a lot of fun. So, hopefully Chris Hardwick will agree to be a guest one day.
That'll be awesome. Because
he has all things EdTech, and EdTech has a pretty big umbrella. So I think we could squeeze him under there. And really, let's make some room for the Nerdist.
I'm down for that.
All right. So what kind of the idea behind this thing here that we've been talking about, the Rewind, is kind of looking back at some of the news stories, some of the stuff going on. So over the past few weeks, you know, in our in let's call it edition zero, podcast zero. This is the podcast, I guess, EdTech Rewind number one here. In zero, we counted down the top 10 educational technology ventures of all time. We showcase things like the wheel.
Yes. I'm a big fan of the wheel.
I think we had toupees in there.
toupees. I think you're. You thought toupees, but what it really was the printing press.
Ah, that's it, printing press. Yeah, because I get those things confused.
One you wear on your head, and one you mass produce things to read.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me what a printing press is. I always forget.
You didn't get I mean, like, remember, I don't know, something has to go in with when you got Google certified, you didn't have to know what a printing press was?
I'm sure I did at the point, but so many things have happened. Like,
I mean, we're paperless now, so who cares?
Yeah, your brain blows up, and you become a big star. You really do. And then you forget the little things, like printing press.
You think it's something you wear on your head, like a toupee?
Yes, exactly. I will do that at some point.
No, that was a good. We need to bring that one back, though. We went through the top. We read the top 10 inventions of all time. Was that correct?
Yes.
Or game changers.
Yes. Top 10 pieces of technology of all time. So that got us up to
what was number one?
Number one was the internet.
Yes.
Absolutely. Based on this list from this other place that we talked about it from.
I thought about the episode today. I was working with some middle, again, the Nicki Minaj class.
Right.
And the kids.
We've got to call them that now. Like, that's just who they are.
Nicki Minaj class. And the kids were like beginning study of a decade. I don't remember the whole thing, but they had to do a decade. And one girl raised her hand and she said, I'm doing the 90s. Only thing I can think of that was invented in the 90s was SpongeBob. I said, that got a pretty big deal in the 90s. Maybe you want to focus on that.
Like, if you want to go DARPA and all that stuff, maybe 60s is when it came about. But 90s, AOL, man, come on.
Well, 90s is like when it blew up. That's when everybody started
getting it. I mean, you can get the dial-up modems. And
right.
Yeah, jeez. Was SpongeBob even invented in the 90s?
He was a big deal in the 90s. I don't know my SpongeBob like I used to.
When was SpongeBob invented? On Google? Oh, it was May 1, 1999. So your Nicki Minaj class got that right.
There you go.
So yay for Nicki Minaj. All right, so, you know, looking past the 90s and into, you know, kind of recently stuff, I just got a few topics I wanted to hit on and get your thoughts of them here.
But first, let me tell everybody, this is the Rewind segment.
Rewind. God, we need somebody who can do drops.
We got one, Radio Daddy. I want to give a big shout-out to the random guy, Radio Daddy, who did the drop for the beginning of the show.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing. It will be amazing. Because it is. So a couple stories I've kind of pulled, just a few things for us to kind of discuss and talk about a little bit and see where to go. First one, in no particular order, let's start with far away from us and then kind of come in closer. How about that?
Sounds like a plan.
So how much farther away can you get from us than $575 million? I mean,
a little bit over my grade.
Yeah. I mean, I can only get to $574 million. So, I mean, that's just an unreachable goal. Here's why I kind of think this one's interesting. So, EdSurge.com, go check it out. A lot of cool educational technology stuff. If you're looking for an ed tech job and you're willing to move pretty much anywhere in the world, you can probably find one.
Idaho, San Jose, California.
Yeah, they're posting stuff all over the place. I've actually gotten to talk to a few of these people every now and then, and just nice guys. So I read EdSurge whenever I have the time. This one article that kind of jumped out at me today: Scholastic is planning on selling their educational Scholastic, you know, book fairs, Clifford book fairs. That's what I think of when I think Scholastic. But also, they're in the ed tech business. They've got a few different programs that are out there, such as Read 180, Math 180, System 44.
Read 180 is huge.
Yeah, they are. Do you use any of them in Clark?
Yes, we use Read 180 and System 44.
Okay. All right, so yeah, you might have a little bit more information on how the product's going to work. But they're selling their EdTech wing to, and I always butcher this name, HMH. Let's go with that. Halfton Milfin Harcourt.
Yep.
$575 million for the software they've developed.
In cash.
In cash money.
And HMH is just coming out of bankruptcy as well.
Yeah. I mean,
three years removed.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
What does it say? Since 1999, and the author of this, let me give the guy credit, Tony Wan. Scholastic has made $1 billion off these products since they were developed. $1 billion.
That's a lot of change.
Like, I can't even kind of wrap my brain around that. But Scholastic has decided, you know, they don't want to be in this sort of venture as far as, you know, I guess the maybe on the data side, maybe on the amount of work it takes to kind of continue to develop the product to make it vital is something that there's like, yeah, you know, we've made our money, we're going to cash out and kind of which HMH look.
I'm not professional on these things.
You're not?
I'm
not either.
It takes a lot to up, just talking to these folks on not these folks in particular, but when I work with some of our vendors, we're talking to them, how fast things change in ed tech, and then having to keep up with all of the changes and go on, you know,
right.
We're in Java. Now we have to develop HTML5. Now we have to do this, you know,
and now we have to make sure it's mobile, mobile capable. If not, Google will downgrade us.
Right. We have to make sure it runs with Chrome.
Yeah. So here's my thing. So that's, they're getting out of that line of work. There was reports recently that Pearson is in the market to unload PowerSchool. I didn't put that in the show notes, but it's something that's been.
Use PowerSchool?
Yeah, we're a PowerSchool district.
We do not run PowerSchool.
Which is fine. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things. There's not, nobody looks at a SIS and says, "Yay, this thing's awesome." They all have their problems, but I mean. And that's going to be another probably $1 billion acquisition for PowerSchool to go. I want to say Blackboard is in the market for it.
Wow. But
Blackboard's kind of playing Pac-Man right now and gobbling everybody up.
Right.
So it's weird to see these sort of transitions and why companies get out of certain things and why they kind of do it. And again, like you said, the flexibility in the ed tech market is so huge.
Right.
And it's the process of staying relevant takes a lot of, a lot of effort and energy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I kind of read a little bit about this and I study a little bit about it. I spend a little bit more time on the admin side than you do in the schools.
Right.
So just looking at the big picture of what we're looking at and kind of the bills we have to pay and kind of, you know, because I see the checks that go to these companies or I've seen them before and I just go, what? I don't know. The faceless corporation things, do you notice it that much when you're on the ground?
I think there's a lot of talk about it now more because of all of the online testing that's going
right.
on. Like, didn't HMH was in doing the Georgia milestones, right?
Yes. Yes, they are.
We've had tons of problems with that. Our district decided to do the whole thing online.
Right.
And, you know, we had lots and lots of problems. I mean, you can go to onlineathens.com and read about some of the editorials and the issues. And it wasn't on our school's end. It was on HMH. Right. And so I don't know. I think there's starting to be a lot of backlash against some of these bigger educational ed tech companies, the Pearsons, the HMHs of this world. So we'll see.
And there is. And again, it's the monolith. There's issues with student data. They're kind of looking at those things. And there's, you know, Clark County's having a hard time. But I think the part of the issue is there's more people on there right now that are taking these things. And it's hitting their servers and kind of hurting them badly.
Absolutely. But they should be prepared for that.
Because this is a lot of money involved.
A hundred and something million dollars.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
I'd have figured more, to be honest with you.
It was, I think it was like 100, I don't know. I don't want to say it on the show because I don't know off the top of my head, but it was 100 or hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And what was unfortunate for us, what is fortunate for us is that we're a one-to-one school district, and our school district decided to go ahead and do it online for everybody.
Right.
We had issues with the screen readers freezing on for our students who had accommodations for the test to be read aloud.
Right.
We're having the biggest issue with the students who need the help the most.
And we had those sparingly. Like, you know, well, the other thing about us, we're not one-to-one in our school district yet. We're working on it. We did all fifth and eighth grade that had to be online this year? I believe. So we did all fifth graders and eighth graders online, and we did one school fully online. Our test administrators and people that are kind of running the show were saying for us it was the smoothest testing administration they've ever done. But again, I think part of that on our end was coming in early in the window and getting some stuff together. I do think that's one thing that'll get better.
And that was the hope for us. We were in it a little bit earlier than others.
Right.
But then we had couple of sections of the test that hit when a lot of the metro counties are also taking the test. So,
right.
I just kind of think probably that everybody got slammed.
Mm-hmm. And if you get a Gwinnett in there and you get a Fulton in there testing, and then that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Looking at the problems that we've had with the milestones, I didn't plan it this way when I threw together these articles I wanted to discuss, just things that kind of piqued my interest. Since last time we talked, again, talking about monoliths and large organizations, you don't get bigger than the federal government. Arnie Duncan, who gets a lot of hate, I think he's got one of those jobs you can't be good at.
Right.
It's almost impossible. And I don't know him as a person, so I'm not going to judge. But he, the Department of Education, they released, the EdTech Developer's Guide, which basically is some sort of, it's a national directive, not toward those in the classroom, but toward those that are writing the apps and writing the programs and doing some different things out there that, it's trying to give them guidance. The demand for high-quality educational apps is increasing as communities become more connected, devices become more affordable, and teachers and parents are looking for new ways of technology to engage students. Richard Kulata. I just butchered his name. What they're looking for and what they're kind of provide direction on and some things that you need to worry about as far as student data and kind of manning that and making sure you're on the up and up of that, how you need to design things, the kind of things we're talking about, HTML5 versus Java versus stuff. Okay, here's where I come down on this side of things and tell me what you think. I think there is a place for something like this. There's a place for some centralization.
Yeah.
There's a place for a directive on how you administer a district, run your show, kind of get some stuff together. People, have hated on Common Core since it came down. Looking at it from my side, I saw it as an opportunity for some states to, and again, the developer's guide and Common Core to me kind of go hand in hand, I would think, because it's standardization. I see it as a way for states to standardize and provide better resources, because instead of having one state do something, you have more people to get. You can share and grow and do some things like that together. What's your thought?
Yeah, I agree with you, Lee. I think that does need to be standardization between the states. I get it. And then in our state of Georgia, we both teach in Georgia. We have a couple of movements for some school districts and some parents and some lawmakers who are anti-Common Core because of the whole states' rights thing. I think, too, that our teachers have gone through so much changes and iterations, so we just need to find something and stick with it.
Amen.
I think that we're curriculum-wise in a good place, and we're not really in a place right now where we need more change, because we have a lot of change already going on. So that's my thoughts on it.
Yes. Yeah. I started teaching in 2006, my first year. Within my first 2 years, and I taught social studies for a little while, I saw the social studies standards, that's hard to say, change 3 times.
Yeah.
Over the course of 2 years, 2 or 3 years. There was just a bam, bam, bam. We went to QCC, to GPS, to, oh, no, that GPS was bad. Let's do another one.
Right.
And, as a teacher, we've seen our math standards change how much in the past 5 years here?
Exactly.
You went
GPS, CC, GPS to,
Math 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
All that stuff that we've done here that just hasn't made much sense. So I know we might be getting a little bit regional right now on the discussion, but I think standardization and maintaining is very important.
I think maintaining, especially with everything else in our state anyway, that's changed for teachers this past year. The new evaluation system, there's been a lot of changes that our teachers have been asked to go through in the last year.
Right. So good discussion, man. Who said we weren't going to get serious on this stuff?
Weird. Do you want me to tell you about my stunt doubling now?
One more thing I just want to bring up, and again, we don't even have to talk about this because this has been beaten to death. I saw this one last announcement I want to share. If you're ready and you happen to be in the area, oh no, never mind, it's already happened. On Thursday, April the 9th, LA Unified's in LA, Los Angeles. So here we're going to break out of the region. LA Unified's Instructional Technology Initiative Task Force hold its first meeting on that Thursday.
On the April the 9th in the past?
Of 2015.
Okay.
They held their first Instructional Technology Initiative Task Force meeting. A quick little trivia question. All right, so set you up again. So what did LA do before April 9th of 2015 that they should have had this meeting first?
Give everybody an iPad?
Yes, ding, 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 ding. $1.5 billion worth of iPads. They paid more for the iPad that was loaded with Pearson software than you would if you just went to the store and bought a 64-gig iPad.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Yeah, so the new Instructional Technology Initiative Task Force, chaired by Dr. Burton, who I'm sure is a great guy, or girl, I'm not sure, will meet from April to November to help develop a plan that supports technology in the classroom to improve teaching and learning. This is a great idea. I applaud LA for doing this. A little late to the game.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about that a few times in our department. I mean, we're lucky. We're a one-to-one school district in grades 3 through 9 right now. Next year, we'll expand it. And you know, I think that our department, instructional technology, there's 6 of us, and we have a director, have played a big role in making student guides and parent guides and handbooks and
communication.
Our PR has been a big piece of it as well. Mm-hmm. And this works, but the more I hear about this, a little late to the game.
Yeah, just get your, I don't know, get your house in order. Know what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yeah,
I mean, iPads are cool and all, but and I if that's going to work for your school system, that's going to work for your kids. Fine, go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got. I don't know. I was talking to another school district the other day that's doing testing on iPads. They had to go buy keyboards for them so they can do it, but they're able to pull it off.
Yeah, we're lucky in the fact that every school in our district has at least 30 iPads. Every media center has a card of 30.
Okay. So you have them for those cases you need.
And then some schools have went ahead and bought extra iPad carts, 1 or 2 extra carts. As well, and we use them a good bit.
Right.
We're still trying to figure out like the management and the mobile device management of
that's a nightmare.
And when I hear about LA Unified and how that, just the management piece of that, just, I love iPads, but the management, mm-hmm, is a big thing to consider.
Yeah, I like my iPads. I would not want my iPad, you know, because with my $574 million, I can buy many. But I like my iPad, right, but I don't want to manage 100 or, you know, however many thousand they were trying to manage. I don't know. Just, and when I first heard it,
or did they go with MDM?
I don't know. I didn't read the details that far down. You would think they have to. They'd have to do something in there to do it, or maybe some third party who had signed on to manage, and that could be an explanation of the higher costs.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just have some foresight. Have an end game in mind. Talk to teachers. Talk to students. Yeah. PD was missing from what I heard too. Like there wasn't. And so yeah, like a little Hakuna Matata there. Yeah. So for our next segment that we call is Don't Hate of the Month, and this is something that, you know, it kind of might even be a hate. Or no, yeah, and I still don't hate, because I don't like to hate. I'm a positive person. I like to say nice things. I like to.
I love everybody.
I do too, man. I want to hug everyone right now. I tried to hug 3 people today, and they didn't like it at all. But you know, whatever.
I love Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, yeah. Like I would hug her. There might be a restraining order, but, you know, I do what I do. So one of the things that's been coming up a lot for me lately is my title. And your title, too. We have pretty much the same title. My title in my system got labeled as instructional technologist. And what's yours?
Instructional technology specialist.
So, yeah. So they just took out the special part of mine. It kind of cut it out.
And they're several of me.
Yeah. So I'm the singular, and I'm not special. Clint is multiple, and they are all special. But, you know, one of the things that I think we both encounter on a daily, we know how to use technology. We troubleshoot for our moms and dads and cousins and aunts and uncles. They call us if their Wi-Fi is down or, you know.
Their DNS entry doesn't work. That's what it did.
Yeah, their what now?
DNS did not work on Google Chrome.
No, there we go. At your mom's house?
At school.
Okay. So, my mom had her. My mom's no longer with us, rest her soul, but she had all kind of DNS issues back in the day. So we're on the instructional side, and I think that's more of our passion. I mean, we're nerds, so we play around with stuff. We try to break it and do different things, but that's not our really where our passions lie. Our passions, I think if you're doing this right, you're on the instructional side. You want to see innovation in the classroom, right?
I want to see innovation, and I want to see, for me personally as an instructional technology specialist, is what barriers can be overcome. What can I do to overcome? And a lot of my thing is like I'm my background is in special education. I was a special education department head for years and years, and I always thought, you know, what could excel learning for my students because of technology?
Right.
And it's just so crazy to me, and what really got me interested in the field is to think about like just how broad of an umbrella technology is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my students to have a Google Calendar update go off to remind them to turn in their homework or to do mm-hmm. their homework. For others to be able to have something read out loud to them.
Right.
You know, there's just so many ways to keep data, to use Classroom Dojo. From some of my students with, you know, who had behavior issues. There's just so many ways that technology can overcome barriers in the classroom.
Right. But how many times have you been asked to fix a printer?
A few times.
Yeah. And how many times? I mean, and again, if I have time and I'm there and it's going to make that teacher's life better, I'm excited to do it, because if you can improve their existence, they can spend more time with students.
My rule of thumb is if I can do it in 10 minutes, then I can do it. If not,
right.
Fortunately, we have really, really good guys who work in our district who's that's their job.
Right, yeah. And so do we. And that's kind of the role I've taken. Like the level one stuff that I can easily answer and do in a few minutes, I
do not. And that's a discussion that we have a lot, you know, is that like, you know, if I can do it quickly, I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell my teachers. If I can do it quickly, I can help you. But I would really, really like to help you infuse technology into your instruction.
Right. And yes. Yeah, amen. One of the things I've seen happening in some other districts where they have the positions like ours is there's a kind of a trend out there to remove the word technology from the title.
Yeah.
I've seen teaching and learning coach. The acronyms of TLC.
Yeah.
I have seen innovation specialists.
I've seen a lot of that, innovation specialist. I like that title a lot.
I do too, man. I heard it in another prop to a podcast, Techlandia. Those guys over there, one of the people I heard talking on there, that was their title, and I was like, that dude, that's a great title. Mm-hmm. If you haven't listened to Techlandia, you... because
we need to have John
hopefully Semmer we on our show. Can eventually we make it to... If you like Techlandia.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, you broke up on me too. Samuelson is a yes.
I'd say we need to have John Samuelson on our show.
Yes. We will make it so. Coolisi. But yeah, so you know, tech is a title. I love technology and I love what I do. But I think that just a word there kind of blinds people.
Right.
Like it, and it's kind of a hiccup.
No, I was just saying, if you're listening to the show, your good chances are you are one of us, or you're thinking about one of us, or you appreciate one of us. But that, you know, like you said, like I'll do whatever. My job is to support teachers.
Uh-huh.
You know, I really want to support, but if it's something that takes a lot of a fixing to do, that there are, we have other great folks in our district who that's what they get. That's what
they're about. And so where I've decided to draw the Ron Clark in the Essential 55 had a rule where he said no Doritos in the classroom. And he made an elaborate gesture every time somebody brought Doritos in. And mine has been with printers. Yeah. If I'm asked to do anything to a printer, I make a very elaborate gesture and ask them to have mercy on their soul.
Yeah.
So anyway, technology is a title.
When it comes out to printers to me, and people either love me or hate me for it, is like, have you thought about saving it in Google Drive?
Amen.
You can access it anywhere. You can send it out.
Why do you hate Mother Earth?
That's right.
Why do you want to kill the world? I've dropped that before.
Yeah.
Why do you hate the children?
Planet Earth.
The children.
Al Gore, Captain Planet.
He invented the internet and the Earth. Yes.
He did.
Internet came first. Clint.
Well, actually, SpongeBob first.
What's
that? The internet. SpongeBob, then the internet, 1990s.
Right. Yes.
Nicki Minaj, that order.
Boom, world's done.
Yeah.
How much, but you can't improve on that. What's that?
Civilization, y'all.
Yeah, there we go.
Internet, SpongeBob, Nicki Minaj, well seen you.
Yeah. I think I need some Kanye do technology.
Oh, so this little segment, and we're going to cue the music.
I, Kanye, use technology in my classroom.
I'm doing pretty good as far as geniuses go.
Quicker, faster, stronger.
So the idea with I, Kanye, do technology is I was working with one of my instructional coaches, who's amazing, Laura Ambrose, and then we were trying to come up, we were talking about, you know, how we're not really cool and hip with the middle schoolers, but like, would be like the worst way to become cool with middle schoolers, and that would be to start off school year with I can use technology, except instead of can, we say I can use technology. And then Ed Camp Rome with Lee, we led a session on I can use technology. So this little segment we like to call I can use technology, and it's how you can use technology in the classroom. So we're going to go back to something that's really revolutionized technology in the classroom, at least for us this year, is Google Classroom. We've been a Google Apps district for several years now, and a lot of the things that I hear from our teachers are, we love Google Docs. It's great. The kids can't save anything. They rename everything. I get a lot of assignments that are called untitled or whatever. Then Google Classroom came out and it standardized everything, and it made a folder in Kids Drive. And it's been like, I don't know about you, Lee, but when I showed this to teachers at the beginning of the year this year, you've ever seen like Oprah's Favorite Things episodes?
Yeah, I had that happen too.
She's like, well, everybody gets a car. I was like, and then all of your documents are automatically named for you, and it goes in a folder. And they're like,
yay, you can grade them right here.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can see who's turned it in and who hasn't. You can set due dates, and it's huge for us. And one of the big things there I hear is like, Clint, this is really, really great. I have a collaborator in my classroom, and we have to have two separate classes, and it's kind of hard. But last week, Google announced and let an update for Google Classroom where you can have multiple teachers in the classroom. And that's huge. Well, it's been kind of huge for us because we're so – into testing right now, but next year I'm so excited about the ability for our ESOL teachers, our special education teachers, our gifted teachers, our student teachers, everybody who's able to all be a part in this classroom and just how much differentiation it's going to bring for both our students and for our teachers.
And even for me I spend a lot of time on the endorsement side of things. I do an online teaching endorsement, and I've used Classroom as my essentially de facto LMS for the year. And it's got me most of the way there. There's been a couple of hiccups every now and then, but we have some endorsement programs that have multiple teachers that want to work with teachers and do some side by side things in using Classroom. And this is going to be huge for them.
Yeah.
If I have a teacher in my online teaching endorsement that goes out and builds a class, instead of putting me in there as a student so I can see what the student sees, they can add me as a co-teacher so I can then go in there and critique them from their point of view.
Right.
And I got to say, I am Mr. Google. Like, I live, breathe, eat, and sleep this stuff. I haven't been in classroom in a minute. It's been a busy couple weeks for me. Yeah. But Clint told me about this tonight, and, dude, I'm making my Snagit video in the morning, and I'll be sending this out to my faculty and, you know, nerds in chief at all my schools. Yeah, this is huge. They're getting so close, man. They're getting so close.
Yeah, and then, like, extra dork points for me is, like, this came out, like, believe it, it was early in the week last week, and I emailed my teachers the next day. And I got a whole lot of hip hip hoorays and yays and stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm so proud of our teachers in Clark County for using this tool. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to go ahead and into the summer, our teachers like thinking about how they're going to use it. And I think that we're going to blow folks away with how we use these new features. Another new feature that came out too is that you're able to save your announcements as drafts and then your assignments as drafts, and you can push them out later. And we've had a couple of issues of that going awry, not many, but this will also be a great new feature.
Draft saved right there.
Yep.
You guys, I know this is audio and I'm looking at something right now, but this is really cool.
Yeah.
So here's one more thing I'm gonna ask for, and Google is really great. There's a question mark down in the bottom right hand corner of Classroom where you can submit your reference or your requests. Over time, anytime I'm teaching teachers about Classroom, I have them come in and I show them where that is. So I say, hey, you see something you need in here, submit it, because these people listen. I was at I don't know if I told you this. I was at EduCalls down in Orlando last October. Mm. And I was doing some work at a Google booth. When I say work, I was wearing a Google shirt and talking about Google at the booth. They gave me no money. There was no financial transaction involved. I got a t-shirt, so that's something. But anyway, so I submitted some feedback a couple times on the question mark, and when I'm at the Google booth, there's Googlers there that are working in real time. And God, I can't remember her name. She saw my name tag and she said, "Hey, Lee Green, I saw your comment the other day that you posted inside a classroom that you needed blah 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 added."
Wow.
I said, it's kind of creepy and awesome. Yeah, and literally, there's a real person reading that suggestions and feedback. They're a nameless, faceless, well, not nameless or faceless. You know, you see Larry and Sergey on about, but there's people that listen and trying to make something better for educators. So yeah. I appreciate that.
What I hope is the next step for Classroom is that that we're able to make subgroups within the classroom. Now, I don't have any insight. You know, I'm a Commodore 64 certified teacher.
Right.
To make what will be Goldberg banners. But it'd be so powerful is that, you know, so many of our classrooms, it's, you know, I'm elementary and middle, is that are collaborative classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, logically, the next step is that we can make subgroups with inside the classroom and push out different assignments based on student need. And that would be absolutely huge. I have a good feeling that that's coming. But
I think so too. And I want forms and Flubert integration.
Yep.
So I want to make some quizzes up in here and have them grade. And then maybe a discussion thread.
Yeah, that would be nice too. But I'll tell you what, if your school district is not using Google Apps for Education, start having the conversation and ask why. I mean, I don't work for Google. But I just see how powerful it is that to have the ability to not only be in the cloud, but be able to collaborate with folks from all over the world. And that's such a opening the door. And, you know, I work in a high poverty school district, and you know, I have students who may not have left Athens Clark County ever in their life. And now we're able to Google Hangouts or Google Documents, whatever, collaborate with folks all over the world. It's huge.
Hey, amen. And that's why I love this thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, Google Classroom, sweet man. I'm making a video in the morning. That's my that's my go to thing to get this
I'll
stuff.
Send you the email I sent folks. I didn't have time to make a video, but
yeah. Done. So cool. So yeah, what else we got? It's
the last. It's almost bedtime for me,
dude. Yeah, I'm feeling it right now.
But the last question that we always have is doesn't have anything to do with EdTech. Lee and I are both huge trivia nuts.
Mm-hmm.
We love the trivia, and we would like to end every episode with a trivia question. But before we do that, let's tell folks how they can learn about us and know about us. Lee, what's your contact information if people want to follow you or whatever?
Let's go with the Twitter. Twitter machine. I am at INST Tech Guy. INST Tech Guy on the Twitter. Oh, you can also find the show at EdTech Rewind. I'm monitoring that. You have access to that handle, right?
The retina scan and all that. You can find me at Vin Diesel Stunt Double. Just kidding. You can find me. It's really hard. My name's Clint Winter. You can find me at Clint Winter.
Yeah. Hey. While we're at it, how do you kick somebody off of a Twitter handle? There's some guy that's been in the green now for like 5 years and hasn't done anything.
What I do is I get my G6.
Like a G6.
I follow my Google Maps, and then I just like again.
Like, I pity the fool who doesn't give me the Twitter.
That's right. Actually, I get my A-team van.
There we go.
And then do that. Or you can follow us at Tech Rewind on the Twitter. And then you have the number. We actually have a Dropbox. If you'd like to leave us messages, we can pull that up at some point. We have a Google Voice.
We do. If I could remember what it is.
It's for episode 3.
Yeah, we'll have that number posted there too. But anyway,
your comments, if you like to be on the show, we love mm-hmm. that show. We're going to like new guests on the show.
I like making friends.
Yep. So anyhow.
So yeah, trivia. What's your question?
My question is this: we're going to start it off a little bit easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big sports fan. I'm from Athens, Georgia, so I love University of Georgia. I love football. But I'm also very proud and a little scared right now of my Atlanta Hawks. And my trivia question is, name two Atlanta Hawks players who have won the slam dunk competition.
Ooh. What do they win?
Hey. Do you have any Ed Camp Rome shirts left over?
I do. Okay. that's what they're wearing.
Rome shirt.
Maybe a Chick-fil-A coupon.
Or tweet us your answer. You can email us at edtechrewind@gmail.com or you can tweet us.
And we will randomly choose from the correct submissions.
Right.
And I might record my voice on your home answering machine.
Wow.
Whether you want it or not.
Yeah. You like it or not, it's going to be Leah Green saying leave a message.
Yeah. Leave a message now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been episode 1.1.
Where are we clocking in at right now?
We're sitting at about 49 minutes, man.
Wow. Close to that magic 1 hour.
Yeah, I think I like the time frame. I like coming in under an hour. I think that makes people feel better.
We hit everything. We're a little controversial.
No, we were. there was a possibility of a PG-13 rating on this one, so I'm not quite sure how it goes. We'll run it through the PPAA.
There you go.
I don't know what that stands for, but
we'll figure out how to host this podcast.
There we go. So hopefully you
think of a script that will do everything.
Yes, I like those things.
Yep.
All right, so
Big shout out to Radio Daddy
for Radio Daddy,
our voiceovers.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate him. He is my radio father.
I am your lady.
So yeah,
speaking of radio father. Have you seen the new Star Wars trailer?
Not the most recent one, though.
Oh, dude! Not the one with Han Solo.
No, I haven't. If you know me,
I did like 8 fist pumps at the end of the new one. When we finish this podcast, you need to watch it. Don't call yourself an EdTech podcast host. I'll watch the new Star Wars trailer.
I would pull it up, but it killed my bandwidth. So I will momentarily.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
We're a monthly podcast, and keep it real in the classroom.